It's 10 a.m. in San Mateo, California, and 15 people seem excited and happy as they jump on Zoom for their morning coffee and some morbid conversation. This meeting, officially called a death cafe, is organized by Mission Hospice in San Mateo, California. It has been hosting death cafes since 2015. A death cafe is an informal meeting where people get together over traditionally cake and tea to talk about, you guessed it, death. 72-year-old Death Cafe participant Jim Fitzpatrick has been hooked since going to his first cafe in 2018.
So I went and I felt so at home, and it was a wonderful space, and I liked how people listened. Was more of the realness and the safety and and finding a group of people that want to talk about death and dying. It's not weird, and they don't go, oh God, don't do that again, Jim.
Death is always, I say it's in my blood and in my soul and in my family.
Betsy Trapasso's grandfather started the first hospice facility in America. She's carried on his legacy to improve end-of-life care by working as a hospice worker, therapist, and end-of-life guide, as she calls it. She also started Los Angeles' first death cafe 8 years ago. It was one of the original 5 death cafes in America, most of which began in 2013.
And people were like, no, like this thing called death, like we're not going to let you have a cafe.
But when she first tried to host a death cafe at a coffee shop or a restaurant in LA, nobody wanted to let her in.
So I just decided to have it in my home in Topanga.
An LA Times reporter heard about Betsy's first cafe through Twitter and came to the meeting to report on it. That changed everything, Betsy says.
We made like the front page of the LA Times, like we were top of the fold. Front page LA Times, April 15th, 2013. I'll always remember it because it was tax day. And it was the day of the Boston bombings. I went from zero to having like 4 or 5 death cafes a month.
The original death cafe movement began in London in 2011 and expanded most notably in Europe, Australia, and North America. Now, according to the movement's central website, deathcafes.com, there are over hundreds of death cafes in the United States and over 1,200 in the world. Because of COVID, they are now all online. UK Death Cafe leader Gemma Norton says this has increased her number of participants.
It certainly, it's grown by a lot. I think I try and keep a kind of count on how many people we have, and I think we average out more like 20 people per Death Cafe now, which it blows my mind. I actually started to wonder if I needed to almost like cap the numbers when thinking about kind of the conversations.
For one thing, you have over a year of really social isolation. So I think people are looking to connect in venues that are virtual in a way that they probably wouldn't if there was a different type of crisis.
Dr. David Schoenfeld, the director of the National Center for School Crisis and Bereavement at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, says people may be using the pandemic as an excuse to begin a conversation.
COVID is a turning point in how we view death in America and whether we can be more healthy about the way that we process it and think about it, because it's definitely bringing death out of the closet, as all epidemics do and tragedies.
Sociology professor Brad Christensen, who teaches a popular class at Biola University called Death and Dying, agrees the pandemic might have freed Americans to have a conversation they've been avoiding for years.
We're a death-denying culture, and we don't talk about it, and we fear it, and we see it as a tragedy or an injustice when it happens to us.
Dr. Schoenfeld of Children's Hospital LA agrees and says that's because of how we actually introduce death to kids in America.
Kids nowadays are actually exposed to death less than they were generations ago. In the past, kids used to buy, you know, they'd grow up on farms, People would die at home. Funerals would be at home. They were exposed to it. It was part of the natural life cycle. The lifespan was less. And then I think we started putting sick people into hospitals, and they die in hospitals where children can't visit at young ages. And so there's been this removal of death from the life experiences. And I think the taboo about talking about death happened once we started to remove children from exposure and involvement in it, which is the reason why you have to have a death cafe, because you didn't talk about it beforehand.
Death cafes are a step in embracing death, which death cafe leaders and participants say helps us embrace life. Jim Fitzpatrick says this is the most valuable lesson he's taken from the cafes.
I'm starting to admit I'm a lover of death. It really brings me closer to living more fully and to be present for living a meaningful life, which I believe is a prerequisite to being prepared for the death of others and the death of myself.
For Annenberg Media, I'm Natalie Ruxton.